Good morning, church. Amen. We believe, don't we? Absolutely. Absolutely. That is the foundation of being a Christian. We believe. Amen. That's what I'm going to preach on this morning is the foundation. That's what I want to preach on this morning. So, if you would, turn to the book of Psalms, the 11th chapter, the 3rd verse. All right, when you're there, please stand. Psalms 11:3. Very simple. One little verse of scripture, and it goes like this. Read it with me if you don't care. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let's say it again. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, we want to come with praise in our heart for you this morning, Lord. You're so good to us, Lord, and Father, we just praise you for that. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to go with us down through this rest of this service, Lord. I pray, Father, that as I always do, open up the hearts here this morning, open up our minds, and Lord, get me out of the way, Lord. I pray for the anointing, Lord, this morning, and I pray, Father, as the scriptures go out this morning, Lord, that, Father, you would anoint, and we ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. On August the 8th, in 2023, on the island of Maui over in Hawaii, of course, it's one of the island chains over there. There was a fire that broke out because of a power line over there, and it sparked a bunch of dry brush. And whenever it did, it sparked that dry brush, there was the winds going by at the same time that were like 70 to 80 miles an hour off a hurricane that was off the coast. Well, these winds drove that hurricane door, it drove that fire, which caused that fire to spread, it says, at the pace of 1 mile per minute. Now, I want you to just comprehend that for a minute. A wall of fire going 1 mile per minute, going across that. It burnt 2,200 acres. And, Julie, go ahead and pull up the pictures. It destroyed the city, and if I'm saying it's right, at Lahaina, it destroyed that city, destroyed over 100 boats. This is one of the pictures here. And resulted in 100 deaths. You can show the other picture too, Julie, if you want to. But total destruction. I mean, you can't even, it was considered the deadliest wildfire. It was considered the deadliest wildfire in over a century in the United States. And it was the worst natural disaster ever in Hawaii. Just plain and simple. And she showed a picture. Now show the next picture. I want you to get a picture of this. This is called the Miracle House. This is the only house that survived in that entire city. Right there. It's called the Miracle House, like I said. And it withstood all the destruction around it. As you can see, every other house, every other building is gone except for that house right there. Divine providence? Absolutely. Absolutely it was. As a matter of fact, the guy that owned it by the name of Tip Milken, he said this. It was a lot of divine intervention, and he said he had recent renovations done to the house within the last year or so before this happened. The renovations included this, a metal roof, steel metal roof. He took the brush from about 5 foot from around the house and replaced it with river stones. He did that, and he said that he had redwood siding on it. It was old redwood siding, but he had redwood siding on it. That house, from every aspect of it, from the top to the bottom, was built to withstand a storm. Every bit of it was built to withstand, especially a firestorm. Totally different from every other structure. That house survived because it was solid from the top, clear to the foundation. Clear to the foundation of it. Folks, that brings me to my message today for you today. God has impressed it upon me through His Spirit, talking to me down through this past week to try to get this across to people. Listen, it's a warning to all of us. And can I tell you what He showed me? He showed me the foundations are going to be shook. He showed me that. Foundations are going to be shook. Whether it's in this nation or in somebody's life that is here this morning. It could be mine. It could be yours. But I'm here to tell you this morning, foundations are going to be shaken. Not only in this nation, but in some of our lives. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can we do? When David penned these words, he was running from King Saul. He'd already defeated Goliath. He'd already done that. And now Saul was after him. He was after him. And he was constantly threatening his life. David knew the answer. If you go back up to verse 1 here, he said this in verse 1 in that chapter. He said, "In the Lord I put my trust." Now, can I ask you something here this morning? If your foundation is shaken to the very core, today, next week, within the next year, what can you do? What can you do? You put your trust in the Lord. You put your trust in the Lord. But he throws it out in verse 3. It's not so much as a question whenever he says that. For himself, he knew the answer. But it was for all those around him who were with him who were doubting. Who were doubting David. Who were doubting. In the original text, in the original form, the question is such that David says, there's no answer outside of trusting God. Can I tell you that this morning? There is no answer to that question for anyone that does not have their full trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and doesn't have our trust in God. It's not unlike what we do from time to time today. And you say, don't we have that conversation amongst ourselves? We look at what's going on around us sometimes. Foundations are being destroyed around us all the time. They are. I see it in my family. I see it in other people's families. And sometimes I've even seen it in the churches. I've seen where foundations are being destroyed and torn up and burned and thrown aside sometimes. And I've heard some people say, well, what can we do about it? What can we do? Listen to me. With all the opposition and the confusion that comes against us on a daily basis, what can the righteous do? When David penned these words, he was comparing society to a building. That's why I brought up that picture. That's why it impressed me about this house right here. This is what he was comparing society to. He was comparing if a building with the foundation being law and order and justice and truth in God's word. That's what the foundation was based. That's what David was looking at. And he was asking that same question that some of us ask today. We look around, and we look around our society, we look around sometimes, and we say, what can we do? If law and order and justice and the word of God are undermined in society, what can we do? If the foundations of God's word is being attacked, which it is, and diminished, and it's being denied sometimes, and you say, well, that's not so much in the church. I'm going to give you something here in a little bit that will surprise you. In a lot of churches, I mean, I may be preaching to the choir here about this because I believe we are a fundamentally sound, basic church here this morning. But that's not the case in all of them. What can the righteous do? Well, the foundations of truth and morality are being attacked. In Psalms 11:4, David laid it out whenever he said this: "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, the eyelids try the children of men." The Lord is on His throne. That's what He's saying. Do we understand and do we truly believe that as a fundamental foundation of Christianity? God is still on His throne. Can I tell you something? His address has never changed. His address has never, ever changed. Sometimes our lives are this and that and up and down, but I'm telling you, God is on His throne and He has never changed and He never will. Even during the times when it seems like God is doing nothing in our lives. Have you ever been there? I'll raise my hand. I've been there. There have been times in my life where I said, God, where are You? What's going on? Things are this and things are this way in my life, and they're not going the way this way and that way for me. He is still there. He's still looking. It is not time Whenever we see this stuff going on, it's not time for God's people to shrivel up and act like we're afraid of anything. It's time to stand up and remember what we stand on. God is on his throne, and there is still his word, there's still his Holy Spirit, and he is leading and guiding us if we want to be led and guided, if we want to be that way. God is there. This is what scares me about the church in America today. And I hope no one here is like this. But a recent poll taken amongst the Pew's the one that takes the poll, and I can't think of but did you know that 58% of the people who call themselves Christians, Greg, they don't believe the Bible or the Word of God is inerrant? That's 58%. Many attending church see it as an ancient fable or just a history book. Now, I don't know about you. If the foundation be destroyed, yeah, I can understand. What are you going to do? But the righteous know what we're going to do. We're going to stand on words on the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner. Now, I want you to understand that last part of that. You may be sitting back there this morning and thinking, well, I kind of believe what that poll says. Then my Bible tells me the Word is even a discerner of your thoughts and intents of the hearer. Do you know that? Whenever it says the Word is quick and powerful, it means it is alive and it is active. We've got to believe that this morning. If we're going to stand upon the foundations that allows us to get through the storms and the fires of this life, we have got to understand that the Word of God is alive and it's active in every one of our lives. It is alive and it's active. 1 Peter says this in 1 Peter 23 through 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Ever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto every living one of us in here today that are born again. I can tell you, I hope and pray that somewhere along the line you've been taught and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life. Can I tell you something? I wrote this down. It is no wonder there is no power in some people's lives. Amen or oh my. In the churches, sometimes there's no power. They attend, and in this nation that we live in, if you do not believe the Word of God is active and alive, there cannot be no power in your life. You know what will not be shaken when the foundations are cracking and crumbling around us? You know what will not be shaken is the infallible, inerrant, living Word of God. It stands. It will stand no matter what. Folks, this is the Word of God, and I've been reading it for 53 years. I've been studying this Bible and praying about it. Did I know everything to this day? No, I do not. I will not stand up here and tell you that I do. But I've been reading it. I've been praying that God would show me, and especially to lead the church that he has put me in charge of. And I'll tell you something. I never had a situation in my life that I've been through, and I've been through a number of things. I've had difficulties in my life. I've had hardships, I've had pains, and I've had suffering in my life. And I can tell you, when I've needed it, it's been here. It's been here. And if you sit back here and tell me, Dave, it's not been there for me, then you're not reading the same book that I've read. Because it had been there. It has been there. When I've read it, Greg, sometimes I've cried. When I've read it, sometimes I've wanted to shout the house down. But I'm here this morning to tell you, praise God, I believe that this is the foundation that we base everything on here this morning. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is given not by Dave Long, no. It's given by who? Inspiration of God. Some people like to think that this was written by men, 60-some men or how many it was way back there. I'm telling you, no, it was inspired by God, given it to them. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. It said, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved by what? The Holy Spirit. Tell you something else. Not one prophecy, not one promise ever laid out in this Bible has ever failed, and will it ever fail? You read it in there, it's going to come to pass. If you undercut and lay to waste the foundation of God's word, don't expect God to move in your favor. Don't expect the power of God to be upon your life if you don't believe it wholeheartedly. Isaiah says this, and sometimes I know we use this for somebody that's lost, but brothers and sisters, sometimes we got to remember, brothers, we need to understand that we need to stand upon the foundation of God's word. Your iniquities have separated between you and the God, and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not what? He will not hear. If the foundations that made this nation great are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? We all know that this year, probably most of you do, I know all of you do, this is our 250th anniversary of being a nation. And let me say this, and let me remind you, and I truly hope you understand what I'm about to say. I wrote this down. Christianity will survive without America. But America will not survive without Christianity. Amen? It will not. God's word will always be alive and active. Everything around us can come and go. Nations will rise and fall. But praise God, his word will endure forever. Christianity will stand the test of time. It has. It's went through all these nations down through the world. And it's still here today. It's still here, and it will be here if it's another 1,000 years before Christ comes back. I'm telling you, Christianity will stand. As I said earlier, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth. Say it with me, but the word of God shall stand forever. They've tried to destroy it. They've tried to say that it's not right. They've tried to say that this book is false. They've tried to say it for centuries. But it has stood the test of time. And can I have a amen? It is still saving souls today. Amen. Something else is true. The church, the true church, will not be shaken. How do I know that? The Bible tells me that. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The true church will stand. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, that means shaken. It cannot be shaken. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and in godly fear. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You all do know that Jesus was before time, right? He is before the world, the foundations of this earth were laid. Jesus came to this earth as a man, as a human. He died upon that cross. He is the same back then as he is today. He still loves you. He still wants to see you saved. He still wants to live with you daily. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So remember, as you see the foundations of this country being plowed up and cast aside, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. It's nothing that the Bible hasn't already warned us about. This know also in the last day, perilous times will come, as troubled times. And as we see foundations being destroyed, we are not to cower in fear, but to listen to what Jesus said. And when these things begin to come to pass, he told us to do what? Look down. He said to look up. He said, look up. He said, lift up your head before your redemption draweth nigh. I'm telling you, It wouldn't surprise me to see him come back today, tomorrow, next week. It wouldn't surprise me to see him come back anytime. Because you know why? We are ripe for it. So we see, listen, what are the righteous to do? I wrote down a couple of things. What are the righteous to do when we see children being abused and neglected in this world? You look around and sometimes you see that stuff, and it can shake your foundation sometimes when you see the stuff that people, the human beings do to small children. But you know what? What are we to do? We're to stand upon God's word. You know what? In this nation, I want you to understand this. 4.4 million children are involved in maltreatment referrals every year. That ranges from neglect clear up to sexual abuse. 4.4 million in a so-called Christian nation. This can shake any. It shakes me sometimes when I see some of the stuff that happens. But listen to what God's word said. Jesus said, I'll take care of this. He said, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believeth in me, it would be better for him to have a millstone hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Let God take care of it, and he will take care of it. What are the righteous to do when the unborn are being sacrificed to the god of Moloch simply for birth control reasons? We stand upon God's word. That is the foundation of God's word. There shall not be found among you any that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination or observers of time or enchanters or as a witch. Psalms 139. This is beautiful scripture here. I praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. My substance, what it says, my substance, that means my unformed body. Now I want you to get this scripture. This was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, that's the womb. Thine eyes did see my substance, my unformed body, yet being unperfected, and in my book, all and in thy book, all my members were written. Did you get that? In thy book, all my members were written. You know what that means? Your life story was already known, and God had already written it down in heaven before you were even born. Did you know that? That should, listen to me. I don't know what you're like here this morning. I don't know what you think you're about here this morning. God already knew all about you. He knew it. When you were, before you, when you was just formed in the womb. Praise his name. Isn't that the kind of God we serve? Which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Even before the parts of your hands, before you even became anything in your life, even before that little bit of life spark in there, God knew it. I don't hear none of this stuff. Well, it's just a blob up until a certain point. It's not. What are the righteous to do when the foundations of marriage are being torn apart? We stand upon the word. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What are we to do? We are to stand upon his word. If you need an answer to anything in life, it's in here. If you dig hard enough and you pray for it, it is in here. We are to stand upon. Jesus said that any man or woman that doesn't build upon a solid foundation of God's word is what? They are foolish. That's what he says. In Matthew 26, it says this, because the heavy rain will come and the floods will come along with strong winds and they will beat upon your house and it falls and great was the fall of it. Because why? Because they didn't stand upon the foundation of God's word. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You want to be like that house right there when a firestorm comes in your life? Now, I'm going to tell you, firestorms are coming. They're coming. I don't know when. I don't know who. But they're coming. Are you on a solid enough foundation? A solid enough foundation when it comes that it doesn't just sweep you away and just destroy you. Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall do what? It shall lift up a standard against him. We are to hold the banner of Jesus Christ high and to spread the gospel message. Everyone that calls himself a Christian, especially in the times that we all live in, especially right now, especially. For whosoever much is given, I don't know about you, man, he gave me a lot. The day I got on my knees in Mannington, West Virginia, and he gave me his Holy Spirit and saved me, he gave me a lot. He gave me a lot. You know what? Where much is given, much is required. If you're saved here this morning, much has been given to you. Much has been given to every born-again Christian here this morning. And much is required of you. Much is required of you. You think, well, what can I do? God will show you what to do if you really want to know what to do. He will. For whosoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. When chaos and sin reign all around us like it does today, Psalms 121 tells the righteous to do this. Alita, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. I love all of you in here. Believe me, I do. But when it comes down to my spiritual help, I don't look to you. And I don't say that. I don't say it in a bad way. I love all of you. And I love your prayers. But brother says, I have to lift my eyes to the one where my help comes from. That's where I have to lift my eyes to. And I hope you do that as well this morning. Christ has given us so much. He gives us salvation. He gives us eternal life. He gives us peace. He gives us hope in a world where there is no hope. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made both heaven and earth. Psalms 11:4 again. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold his eyelids, the children of men. Listen, again, I'll tell you this. If you feel like this evening or this morning that God is not right there with you, I'm going to tell you it again. God has not changed his address. He has not. Psalms 92, before the mountains were brought forth, ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Nothing in your life this morning, anything that goes on in your life or in this nation, it doesn't surprise God. It doesn't surprise him. God knows. Folks, I want to be like that miracle house in this aspect. Whenever the enemy comes in like a flood, I want to make sure from the top to the bottom, I got Jesus all over me. Amen? When it comes through, destruction all around you, you can raise your hand and say, Lord, you're my God, and I know who you are, and I trust you. Amen? God's good. We serve a good God. Amen. Let's get a song, Belinda.